Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, so we're getting a little niche-y today. I'll admit, I know that when I put Roto whatever in the title of a show, that doesn't inspire the masses to come hang out with us. And I'm comfortable with the fact that today's show is probably going to be a little bit less listened to. But you know what? Not all of my lessons learned episodes are going to be about the league that you're in. Yes, I said you're in. Some of the episodes are going to be about other leagues. And right now, one that I like to focus on is the concept of the Roto Games Cap. And that's going to be the main topic we cover on today's program, in addition to, of course, covering a bit of what's going on in the NBA playoffs and what that means for games coming up this evening. It's a three-game Wednesday night. Games will be starting actually shortly after we finish up this show. I do feel like I also owe everybody an apology, even if that's a little bit nonsensical. Apologies for the afternoon release on today's podcast. I was awake like half the night yesterday. You guys know that I have various issues with my body. I'm only 40 years old, but my GI system is definitely double, perhaps even triple that age. And sometimes that messes with my sleep, and today I needed a recovery morning. So thank goodness the kids were in school or whatever. But anyway, welcome to the show. It's Fantasy NBA Today, I think. Isn't that what it is? I'm a little turned around today, too, as a result of my goofball schedule. I am Dan Bespris. That much I know for sure. We're live on YouTube. We are recorded on all traditional podcast channels. And again, today we are talking Roto a little bit more. So let's dive right on in. I don't have any visual aids for today's show. Today's program is very heavily just a very long rant, which I know some of you guys love the rant shows. But it's not that kind of rant. It's not the, oh, what's grinding my gears kind of rant. This is a rant that is, you know, a little bit anecdotal, but at the same time, we can take some data to use in our discussion. And the discussion today is on the concept of the games cap, not so much whether or not one needs to be used, because I'm 99.9% sure that if you're in a Roto league, you got to have a games cap. You cannot reward teams for just mega streaming all season long. And the move there is not to limit the number of moves a team can make throughout the season, because that shouldn't really be the thing. You just limit how many games you can use at each individual spot in your roster. So if you're newer to fantasy, you're probably not listening on April 19th, but let's say that you are, and you're not 100% certain what this concept of the games cap is. So very quickly here, just as a background, the games cap is basically you can get a total number of actual games played per spot on your roster. So at the point guard spot, you can get 80 some odd, whatever you want to set it to, 82, 84, 85, 87, something like that, games played. If somebody misses a game, it doesn't count against your games cap. You can fill it in with other stuff later. It's why when I talk about players that are more head-to-head or more Roto-geared on this podcast, one of the things that I often bring up is, oh, well, this guy's a better Roto discussion. He misses some games, but it's not like it costs you a weekly matchup. He might play like a Kawhi Leonard, who obviously had a very poor first couple of months, but actually almost made up for all of that on the Roto side by just steamrolling when he's in there. And so on the Roto side, because of this kind of dichotomy, you're looking for typically more of the high per game guys in your lineup. If you're in a Roto league that does not have a games cap and you say to your commissioner, we need to have a games cap, and your commissioner says, no, I don't want to have to limit I honestly don't know what the argument is against having a game cap. Or they're like, oh, well, I don't, I want to make sure that we have a moves limit or something like that. Here, the simple answer to all of that is just set a games cap. And we're going to talk about what that should potentially be on today's podcast. shorten the waiver period. Because one of the things that teams can do to kind of mess with their opposition, if there is no moves limit, is to screw with pickups and drops to try to keep opponents from getting players they would need to kind of make a charge in a particular category down the stretch. So, like, let's say you're up on someone by 20 rebounds on the last day of the season. If there's no moves limit, you could pick up and drop every good rebounder and try to get them onto the waiver wire a day in advance or something like that. Because obviously, if you pick up and drop a guy in the same 24-hour period or without an overnight, they don't go onto waivers. They go right back into the free agent pool. Easy solution to that, just super shorten the waiver time so that roster churn isn't an issue. You can't just mega stream. You can't load up your team with extra games played because you have the cap, and you can't screw with other people's rosters because the waiver time is so obscenely short. Make it one day. I don't care. Give people enough time to see who got dropped and put in their waiver claim. You don't need 3 days to figure it out. Absolutely not. So anyway, that's the concept of the games cap. I presume that most of you that are listening to today's show that are in Roto Leagues are probably pro games cap, and so that's cool, and I don't want to spend too much extra time talking about what it actually is. More of the nuance of it, which is, what should the games cap be? Before COVID, and I'm talking about even as we've kind of, we had semi-entered the world of load management. It wasn't a huge thing, you know, 6 years ago or whatever it is. Load management was not that big of a deal. It was like two players, mostly Kawhi was the one. And then it been slowly ramping up, and then we got COVID. And so for a long time, pre-COVID, pre-era of the load manage, I was a big fan of setting the games cap as high as 90 per roster slot. Because most players in the NBA were gunning for like 73, 74, 75 games played. If you go back to the fantasy rank board from 2016, and you look at most of the players at the top of the board, I'll just read them to you. Kevin Durant was the number one player in fantasy that year. He did miss 20 games. That was with the Warriors. Number two was Anthony Davis, 75. Steph Curry, number three, played 79. Kawhi, freaking Kawhi, with the Spurs, played 74. Giannis, 80. Cat, 82. Harden, 81. Chris Paul, 61. But legitimate injury. Russ, 81. Butler, 76. Isaiah Thomas, 76. Kyle Lowry was number mother bleeping 12 that year, but he only played 60. LeBron, 74. Boogie, 72. Paul George, 75. Dame, 75. Irving. Kyrie, 72. Jokic, that was the hello Jokic year, 73. Rudy Gobert, 81. John Wall, 78. Draymond Green, 76. Otto Porter Jr., 80. Mike Conley, only 69, which nowadays feels like a pretty reasonable number, but was absurdly low in this group. Hassan Whiteside, 77. Miles Turner, 81. Kemba Walker, 79. Are you hearing these numbers? This is 6 years ago, people. This is not decades past. That's 6 years ago we're talking about right now. What about the top of the board this year? This is on a per-game basis, by the way. So I'm talking about per-game. What are these guys doing? Joel Embiid, who, by all accounts, had a pretty damn healthy year, 68. That's lower than the Mike Conley number we just listed. Nikola Jokic, generally regarded as the healthiest player you could possibly find outside of Mikal Bridges, 70. Shea, 70. AD, 58. Kevin Durant, 49. Dame, 58. Steph, 58. Kyrie, 60. Haliburton, 56. Butler, 67. Jason Tatum, thank the good Lord we found someone, 76. Kawhi, 54. JJJ, 64. Now, he missed the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season, so that's largely where that came from, but regardless. Porzingis, who had a good year, 65. Spida, 70. By the way, it's worth noting, 76, Tatum. We haven't had a single other player yet above 70. We had three players at 70. No one else above. Luka, 66. Harden, 60. Markkanen, 66. Van Vliet, 70. Miles Turner, 62. LeBron, 57. Brooke Lopez and Domantas Sabonis, 22 and 23 in the ranking boards, 79 and 81. Finally. At long last, we found somebody. Holy moly. Again, 6 years right now is what we're talking about. This is the difference 6 years makes. But I want to make sure that we're comparing this not necessarily to 6 years ago, because during COVID, I don't remember if we did an entire show on it, but we certainly did a segment on moving the game's cap down. And I was a fan last year when, well, for one, you know, last year we had an 82-game season, but for two seasons in a row, we had basically a 72-game season. So you had to mess with the game's cap there for other reasons. But last year, under the assumption that there would be a COVID wave, I thought, all right, I think there's no way you go higher than 85 at the game's cap spot, and I'd be perfectly comfortable going 82 or 83. Because in the peak here, let's say 2020, 2021, which was like still very much in the thick of COVID, we're finally vaccines coming out for players towards the end of the year. We're all getting yelled at because, you know, microchip, not going to go down that path. But that was when we really got a strong taste of it. You know, in a 72-game season, Jokic played 72, Dame played 67, Vooch played 70, but basically everybody else was at like 52 to 62 range. And so then the following year, 21-22, last season, not this most recent one, I think we all were like, you know what, let's aim low, and if it's easy to get to 82, great. By the way, it wasn't. It wasn't easy to get to 82. Jokic played 74. Here, just from the first two rounds, here are the players who actually cleared 70 games played. Jokic was number one at 74. Number one in per game rank, I should say. Karl-Anthony Towns was number eight per game. He played 74 last year. Trey was 11, 76. Tatum was 14. He played 76. LaMelo was number 21. He played 75 games. And Tyrese Haliburton was number 23. He played 77 games last year. But if you didn't have those guys, your early round picks were generally in the 65 to 69 range. That was really the big chunker number, or 64 if you want to stretch it just a tiny bit farther. You had a lot of players that were in that mix. And so, and the really quick way to do this is to look at somebody's per game value who played like 68 ball games, switch it over to totals rank, and find out if their rank changes at all. DeJounte Murray last year with San Antonio, on a per game basis, he was number seven, played 68 games. By totals, he was number six in those 68 games. So most of the NBA last year played about 68 ball games. Coming into this season, there might have been a desire among some of us, myself included, really, to try to inch that games cap marker back up a little bit. Because we didn't really know what sort of COVID winter we might have. Remember, we had a stretch in there. I think it was the Omicron wave. I don't remember. Who the hell can remember the different ones? When basically the entire league caught it. Maybe that was the previous one. Was that the previous one? Doesn't matter. Yeah, all these years have blurred together in my brain. But the thought was, okay, well, for this season, COVID is becoming less prevalent. It's not, we haven't seen as many of those big mutations, the ones that everybody's going to get all over again. Do we inch the game's cap back up? The prudent among us probably just left it. Said, whatever, we'll leave it the same. We'll see what happens. And that ended up really being the wise decision, because as it turns out this year, it wasn't so much COVID related as just players seemingly kind of got used to not playing in that many ball games. And this year, I think we had arguably the lowest games played expectation that we've had on a percentage basis ever. And someone can run the numbers on that. And maybe there are more fringy players that it's, you know, not as large of an ordeal with. But certainly if you're looking up near the top of the board and a guy like, say, OG Anunoby, who was number 29 on a per-game basis and played in 68 ball games, he was basically there in totals also. I think he was like three slots lower. And the guys up near the top of the board that played in 68 games actually saw their totals rank go up. So the overall marker for the NBA was around 14 games missed. That's a crazy high number. Now, if you're in a roto league where there are only 13 roster spots, adding extra games cap space is a really rough idea. Because you're trying to get to 82 at each spot. And if most of the league is only playing in 68 ball games, you're talking about 14 times 10 roster slots, 140. That's basically using two of your bench slots all the time. You got to go 12 deep all year long. Which also means you might have some guys on IL, so cool, you can pick somebody else and replace that guy. But if you have dudes that are game time decisions on your bench, that can screw it up. If you want to roster churn a little bit, you kind of have to. You really can't not play guys when they're healthy in that format. So this whole thing becomes so murky in that respect, in terms of just this, the idea that we could inch the games cap back up. So my hope was, and I know that this is sort of an anticlimactic, what's the point of all of this moment on the podcast? The anticlimactic part is, the answer to our question of what we should do with our games cap is right now, probably nothing. Now, the other option here, if you want to go this route, and this is something that I've done in leagues where I am the commissioner on the roto side, as opposed to like the Yahoo public prize leagues where it's automatically set at 82 and you have three bench slots and you have extra IL slots and stuff like that. I have eliminated the injured list in my roto leagues and I've gone five bench slots. So you just have more guys available at your disposal. And you're like, Dan, but it's 16 with the IL slots and the other one. Yeah, but you can't use all those guys. You have to punt someone from your team if you can bring someone off of the IL. In my format, five bench slots, it gives you more opportunity to not play healthy guys if you still want to get to your actual games cap. So my take on all of this, after looking at all of the data and after looking at kind of the way things have moved in the NBA, is that teams have not moved back towards playing their guys more. And actually, it may even be trending in the other direction still. Even without COVID, it was like the previous 2 years, teams used COVID to just give their guys days off that maybe they were going to get anyway. That's what happened this year. They got those days off anyway. Got them for something else. Sore foot, sore earlobe, itchy nose. hotel room tenant prior to player had cat. Player felt allergic, didn't want to play. Like, there are a couple of guys in the NBA that seem like they want to make a point out of playing in as many games as humanly possible. Nikola Vucevic, Mikal Bridges. There aren't that many of them right now. Anthony Edwards. But by and large, most of the teams where they're not scraping for that last play-in spot or whatever, they're giving their guys breaks. And that's the reality of the modern NBA. Now, if you go to the five bench model, you can probably go to a games cap of about 85 per slot and get away with it. There's, you know, three extra games per slot, an extra 30. Like, what is that? It's a less than half an additional player on your bench. But if you're playing in the Yahoo format, which is 82, and it's the three bench slot, I think if you too have a three bench slot league, you got to leave it at 82 also. Because it's just too hard. You're forced to play everybody all the time, given how hurt everyone is in the NBA right now. Do you badly want to go a little higher? Go 83. go 84. You could squeeze it out, but you just can't fall that far behind. Now, if the NBA starts to make a move where guys are playing more, we'll react to that. But for right now, lesson learned from this year, keep your games cap low and keep your enemies lower. No, keep your games cap low. The league has not moved back towards making their guys play more. And I don't know that they're about to anytime soon. That's right. Blake in the chat room, host of our Fantasy NHL Today show. Sinus infection, the Jimmy Butler special. Yep. Got this little, got some pressure right here, right behind the eyes. And that pressure says, just lay back down. You'll be fine. Take a breather. You're okay. Take a load off. All right, what's going on in the NBA tonight? Should be fun. Lakers-Grizzlies is the early game tonight, friends and confidants. I was not prepared for that. I thought that they would try to push that one back a little bit. I know Memphis is the, I think it's the farthest east locale of any of the three games happening tonight. Not by a ton. It's only a little bit east of Milwaukee, but you've got time zones to contend with here. And then the poor Denver Nuggets just getting screwed by mountain time. They're 8 o'clock tip out there. Yeesh. Poor kids, man. They can't watch anywhere close to the end of that ball game. That's like baseball playoff type crap. Anyway, Grizzlies, 1-point favorite in this ball game. I heard, actually, I think it was Dan Patrick this morning who said, oh, well, Grizzlies are a 1-point favorite, so that means they think Ja is playing. And I would hate to call out, I love Dan Patrick. I think he's one of the better broadcasters out there. He does just an unbelievable job of pacing, and he's been doing it so long. But based on the fact that the Grizzlies were a 5-point closing favorite in game one, and this is at one, that 4-point swing is probably Ja. So I would actually argue that a 1-point Grizzlies line suggests Ja is not playing in this game. Could he still surface? Yes. But this line, if you're going to say, oh, well, the line is telling me this, suggests he's not. I don't like that. I know during the regular season, there's an impetus to want to play the injured star theory. That doesn't really hold the same water in the playoffs. There is just no universe where the Lakers are going to dial it back in a postseason game just because they don't think they need to worry about Ja Morant. They're just going to go to another set of scheme that they would have used in situations basically when Ja is on the bench. So like now they don't have to chase him into Anthony Davis near the free throw line. They're going to worry about Tyus Jones, who's a better outside shooter, but obviously not nearly the feared competitor on, anywhere inside the 3-point line. So to that end, I really don't know what the hell is going to happen in this ball game. Coming into this series, I thought the Grizzlies would win it in 7. Without Ja for however long this might be, that changes things. Lakers looked really good, I thought, in game one, better than I expected after the long layoff. And now for the Grizzlies, they got to figure a bunch of things out. Specifically on offense. Like, I don't know how they're going to get all of the mismatches they needed. There's going to have to be a lot of Jaren Jackson Jr. because the Lakers did a pretty darn good job on everybody else. As far as the total goes, it's at 225.5 right now. It's come down off the opening number. I guess the assumption there is that the Lakers feel like now with no Ja Morant, they'd like to keep this thing more towards the half court, not let it get sort of wide open and free. See what happens from there. I'm not betting into this game at all. I don't know what to expect from Lakers Grizzlies without Ja Morant. I'd rather watch how this one goes and then react to the next one if indeed he does miss another ball game. So just my take. You could adventure into it if you like, but yeah. Bucks opened as a 7.5-point favorite that went up to 9, crashed down to 6 when it sounded like Giannis was not going to play. Now it's back up to 8. That line's been all over the map and back. Total is down off the opening number of 222 to 219.5. And this is, again, where you want to look at what happened in the previous ball game and try to make an assessment from there. The Heat, who also now are without Tyler Hero. I mean, we're contending with a lot of stuff in these series related to injury things. The Heat shot 60% in that first ball game. They scored 130 points by basically not missing almost ever. You know, 84 shots, 15 turnovers, 21 free throws. Pace was decent in this game. It was like 110 possessions for Miami, but I mean, 20 points over that mark. Over on the Milwaukee side, they were in the neighborhood of like 114 or so possessions. So they ended up actually pretty close to their expected playoff point total. I think this total is right on the money, actually. I think that there's a reason, like you might look at that first one and see 247 and think they should have raised the number a little bit, because total for game one was 221 and they did bring it up to 222, but it's actually been bet back down. And I would actually lean to the under as well in this one. I think this game slows down, especially if Giannis is playing hurt. He's not going to be quite the same Giannis. No Hero means you're going to see a lot of half court stuff from the Heat as well. And I just, and I mean, Miami's not going to score as well as they did in the last one. Simple as that. So you got to look for a little bit of the, okay, well, everything went one way in game one. Teams are going to make their adjustments. You're going to see things grind a little bit more. I would look at the under in this ball game, and it's probably, I don't know that I'm playing it, but among the leans here on the card, that's probably my favorite so far. And then as far as the side goes, I don't want anything to do with that. I think, you know, there's a equal chance the Bucks blow this thing out as the Heat blow it out again. Like, you have no idea what's going here. Question from the chat room was, what does my gut say on Giannis? I think he's probably playing, or at least going to try to. I would lean towards Giannis going in this ballgame. And the last game of the night, Nuggets 8.5-point favorite, total of 223.5. It's actually down 2 points to 221.5 after that first game, which was just so beyond disgusting. 109-80 was the final score. And Minnesota just had nothing in the tank. They shot 37%. Denver, like, defensively, the Nuggets are fine. But Denver, didn't even play all that well on offense in this game. They sort of kind of sleepwalking their way through it, and it was more than enough. Final total on that game was 189 points, which posted total was 225. Odds makers had no choice but to bring the number down a little bit. .223.5 again, that opening number, but they didn't bring it down by much, which I think tells you there's an expectation that the Nuggets, and this has happened with Denver quite a bit actually throughout postseasons, they tend to play relatively quick ball games. And for Minnesota, you know, their games actually haven't been all that fast. This was just like a slow, awful basketball game. And so, yeah, maybe they do that kind of thing again. Jokic, by the way, is listed as questionable, but he's going to go. Rudy Gobert is questionable, but he's going to go. These guys are all going to go. And you're just going to see a better offensive display. Even if there's only like 215 possessions, you're just going to see the teams perform better. So I would look, I think, at the over in that last ball game. It's not my favorite. You guys know I like to bet unders in the playoffs, so I don't think that I would get on it. And then I would expect the Wolves to put a much better showing out there. Could they end up getting pushed down and losing by like 11 to 14 at the end of the ball game? Yeah, absolutely. But after getting embarrassed in the first one, this has all the makings of a bounce back. So my favorite leans on the card today are the Wolves catching a whole bunch of points. Maybe you could get that number going back up a little bit. Hard to see it getting any higher than 9 at any point today. And then Bucks Heat. What the hell did I say? Under? Yeah, Bucks Heat under, and the Wolves catching a bunch of points are the two things that I'm kind of looking at from that perspective. I will, of course, you know, I'm going to be watching that Lakers-Grizzlies game. This is the time of year where I can actually let my Lakers fandom ooze out of my pores a little bit and gross you guys out. And that's our show for today. Thanks, as always, for hanging out with us, whoever, wherever you may be. Apologies again on the afternoon show. No promo today because it is coming so late. Just check me out on Twitter, at Dan Vesperus. Check Sports Ethos out. Shout out to the baseball guys. 4 articles dropped today for the baseball division over Ethos Fantasy BB. Amazing work, guys. Well done. Have a delightful Wednesday. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow, probably in the morning again. So maybe some of you will actually hang out with us for that show. I think we're talking Rockets tomorrow. Ooh, what's Dan going to say? You'll have to find out, won't you? Okay, later for now.